Well, we are delighted to have Dr. Shelton Smith with us. He's no stranger to Grace Calvary. He's been here for 32 years. He's been coming here ever since he became the editor of the Sword of the Lord newspaper, which we have in the box in the back. And he's become a friend, and we enjoy having him every year for our North Coast Sword of the Lord conference. And so I'm going to ask Dr. Smith to come and preach to us now out of the Word of God.
All right. Thank you, Pastor, very, very much. 32 years, and I'm only 39, amen? Well, if you believe that, I'll try to correct it. Actually, I'm 40, but anyway, it is a joy to be here. I look forward to coming every year, and Brother Alquist and I have developed a strong friendship over the years, and so a number of you I've gotten to know pretty well as well, and I like that. And just a joy to get to be here. And first time I've been here on Sunday in quite a long time. Usually come just for Monday and Tuesday. I have a meeting over in Detroit that occurs Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday just before this. And I usually stay there on Sunday. And, well, I told him Brother Alquist wanted me to come all 3 days this time. So I kind of begged out of that, except I was over there Friday night, flew up to Detroit Friday afternoon, and then drove over here from Detroit yesterday. And Brother Alquist met me for dinner, and we went by and saw the museum, and wow, ooh, I like that. And if you've not been yet, you got to go over and see that. That is phenomenal. And I told him that we make a few pictures over there last night, and sometime, well, maybe toward the end of September, 1st of October, we'll get a story in the Sword about the museum, and maybe that'll help drive a little traffic this direction. And but anyway, we are very, very pleased and very impressed with what I saw over there, and so we're going to have a good time these next couple of days. And I hope you're going to be right here and be a part of it. I want to say again what I said the first hour this morning at Sunday school. You know, I understand you have traffic around here, right? And you have to get off from work and all that. Hey, listen, come on, come in your work clothes, run through a drive-thru somewhere, grab a taco, grab a burger, drive with one hand, eat with the other on the way over here. And come on and be here. And if you have to come in a little late, come in late. I'm serious. We just want you to be here. Get in on every bit of it you can. You're going to like Brother Godsey. He's coming over tomorrow from Cadillac, Michigan. And I was been with him any number of times at Cadillac. And this past April, I was scheduled to be there. And I flew up to Detroit. And it's a three-hour drive on north of Detroit to get to Cadillac. And I was getting a rental car, and I said to the lady, I said, I'd like to have a Cadillac. And she said, you didn't book a Cadillac. I said, I'm just telling you what I want. I'd like to drive a Cadillac. And she said, but you didn't book a Cadillac. And I said, look, lady, I said, I'm going to Cadillac, Michigan, and I think I'll be a whole lot more impressive if I drive a Cadillac. And she said, well, I can't do that, but what about a Chevrolet Tahoe? I said, that'll work. So I actually talked myself into a little upgrade with that. But you're going to like Brother Godsey. He's a younger man, 50 roughly, and he's done a great job there. He's a good preacher, and you're going to enjoy what he does. So we're going to have a good time. And all the goings on here Tuesday with the folks coming from Ohio and New York and Pennsylvania and maybe even some from Ontario, we always have a good bunch to come in. You know, the Buckeyes come over to get polished up, right? Yeah. Polish up the Buckeyes, you got that. But anyway, and the New Yorkers come over as well. They're just glad to escape. But anyway, folks, I'm sorry. If you're watching from New York, I'm only kidding, all right? But anyway, we're going to have a great time. Going to have a great time and look forward to seeing all of you here as much as you possibly can be here. I want to do something this morning in the next few minutes. I'll tell you this. When I was a younger man, I hesitated to preach familiar text. you know, like John 3:16 or whatever. I just hesitated to do it. But I got over that. And I tell you why that I got over it. I discovered that no matter how much you know a Bible passage, how well you know it, or how many times you've heard it preached, I'm convinced with the Bible that you can't bleed it dry. I'm convinced that even things you know very, very well, if you'll just say, Lord, speak to my heart, it'll do something for you every time. So I'm going to Psalm 23. And it's a passage, again, one of the most familiar passages in all of the Bible. And I got one spot in it that I'd like to camp on for just a little bit. While I was still pastor in Maryland, which is already been pointed out, was a good while back now, but I think it was 1994 in the summer, I announced ahead of time that I was going to preach 12 messages out of this little chapter. And I put the titles and everything in the bulletin all at one time to let them know Sunday morning, Sunday night for 6 weeks. Well, it worked out pretty good, except I wound up, I think I preached 24 different messages out of this chapter. And I'm telling you, sometimes you just camp on a word, you dig around on it, and you find out it's got a lot of implications. And that's something of what we'll do here. But let's look at it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may remember that Jesus said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. So he's talking about heaven, talking about it as though it is the Father's house, the Father's dwelling place, and that for every person who's received Christ as Savior, that he's preparing a really, really special place for us. Now, Betty and I live in a subdivision in our city of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, there in the south edge of the Nashville metropolitan area. And the subdivision that we live in is basically a subdivision of three and four bedroom homes. And we've been in that house, I think, 29 years of the 31 plus that we've been in Murfreesboro. But right next to our subdivision, there's another subdivision that, the folks who live over there apparently either have money or they have a big house payment, maybe both, because the houses are big. In fact, just in the last 2 years, somebody built a large one that I think is probably bigger than this church building, and it's solid white on the outside. Got a wrought iron gate around it, nice, beautiful yard. Every once in a while, I drive by there on my way out to the office or coming in home, and I just feel impressed to call one of my preacher friends like Brother Alquist, and they'll say, where are you today? I say, I'm at the White House. you got to put up with me. I'm going to have some fun as I go. Sometimes I do that. Now, I look at some of those places, and Betty and I enjoy our house. It's just right for the two of us and for our family whenever we got birthdays to celebrate and whatever else. But the neighbors that have those big houses. I'm happy for them. God bless them if they can afford that. That's wonderful. But I'm telling you, and I would tell every one of them, they ain't seen nothing yet. they haven't seen anything yet. They may like all of the finery that they've got. But if I read the Bible correctly, when you and I get to heaven, it's going to be bigger and greater and grander than anything that, well, you know. And I've been to the Hearst Castle in California. I've been to the Neuschwanstein Castle in Germany, and Biltmore down in North Carolina, and different deals like that. And they're very impressive, very impressive. Now, I don't know exactly what it is that Jesus is preparing for us, but if I'm not too far off the rails here, what I read in the Bible suggests to me that you're going to like what he's getting ready for us. You're going to like that. Now, I read in the very last part of Psalm 23 where it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, that word forever has my attention. We talk about life, and you know, somebody lives to be 100. Oh, we make it a do about that. Somebody gets to be 101, 102. You know, the years that I was pastor, and you know, I conducted, several hundred funerals over the years. The oldest person that I've conducted their funeral and was there to be a part of the burial and all that, the oldest person that I put away was a lady named Miss Ella Troop. She lacked 2 days being 103 when she died. And, and we look at that, and I'm telling you, we made a big, when she hit 100, we made a big to-do. When she hit 101, we made a big to-do about it. And she lived there by herself, cooking for herself and all, for up until 3 weeks before she died. Now, we made a big to-do about that, and it's something. And those of us that have reached that stage where people talk about us being senior adults, I'm not sure what all that entails, but I think probably it's the reason why sometimes I go to McDonald's or someplace and they give me a senior discount, and I often ask them, how could you tell? Some of us are getting along down the path. And being 100 doesn't sound like all that big a deal. I mean, it's like, hey, man, you know, a few more years and you might actually get there. Now, but I'm telling you, it's nothing compared to what the Bible talks about when it says forever. Forever. That would mean it got started somewhere, but there's no end to it. And the Bible says here, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we're going to go where there's no more death, no more dying, no sickness, none of the hurts and heartaches that go with grieving, none of that. Now, the Bible says about life where we are now, man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And we see that right along. The Bible also tells us the days of our years are 70. That would be 70. And if by reason of strength, 80. That would be 80. Now, we have to come to grips with something. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. So, death, the physical death, is an appointment that unless the Lord returns, that's an appointment we'll all keep. And then there is an after this when we go to meet the Lord. You know, you buy a new car. It doesn't last very long. Certainly not forever. You go buy, Betty and I, just the other day, I don't even know how it came up now, but she said something about the washer and dryer that we have at the house. And I said to her, I said, well, we've had that for a long, long time. Now, she went and got the paperwork. She keeps everything. She went and got the paperwork for when we bought it. One of them we bought in May, and the other one we bought in July of the same year. And we've had that washer and dryer 38 years, both of them. And they are still working, or at least they were when I left home on Friday. Now, I don't know, but it's true. She's got the paperwork. Now, you know, we look at that and we say, oh, wow, that's amazing, because most of that stuff doesn't last that long. But folks, I'm telling you, you buy a car, you buy a house, lots of things we do doesn't last. The Bible says life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. But there's something coming that's called forever. It's coming. The hourglass of time runs down, but forever is forever. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. Now, there's three things I want to tell you briefly about forever. Number one, there's a dark side to forever. A dark side. I don't mean to be critical, but it's a fact. There are a lot of places where you could go to church and you would never be told that there is a place called hell. Unfortunately, a lot of places even that claim to be Christian, you're probably going to learn more about how to balance your checkbook and how to get along with your mother-in-law than you will about eternity. It's sad, but it's part of reality. Now, the fact is, the Bible tells us a lot about what I'm calling the dark side of eternity, the dark side of forever. It tells us a lot about hell. And it's not a pretty picture. It's not a place where you want to go and hang out. In January or early February every year, I've gone out to the low desert of Southern California for a meeting, the church I go to there. And I called the pastor just this last week to be sure that we had a time logged in for late January, early February to be with him this year. And low desert, Southern Cal, right on the Mexican border. And we do have a border there now. But anyway, I just throw that in for free. But anyway, the fact is, right now, you look it up, Imperial, California, and I think it was Tuesday, I talked to him. It was 115 degrees there. And that's pretty normal for them for a stretch here during July and August and so forth. You know, be 109, 112. In fact, he told me a couple days before it'd been 119. Now, I don't go in the summer. I don't go. I go in January and February. When you're knee-deep in snow, I go out to Imperial and walk around in my shirt sleeves because it will be very, very nice, 70 degrees. Now, but you go out there now, and I'm telling you, I told him, I said, I hope your air conditioning's working. But folks, I'm telling you, when you think about hell, it's not just hot, but the Bible says it is tormenting. Tormenting. And there's so much about that. I mean, it's not something. I mean, I've been to places in America and beyond where I'd say, you know, I'd love to go back there. I'd love to spend a week there. But I've been some places where I got both times out of the way, first and last time, one trip. I said, I don't think I ever want to go there again. And I'm telling you, whenever you think about some of these places of intense heat, probably once is enough. But whenever you think about forever, no air conditioning, no relief, no way of getting comfortable again, but the misery, listen, sin has a payday. And the only way that we can manage to deal with that is through the Savior who loved us and paid the price for our salvation. You know, nothing like receiving something. You all have demonstrated that here in this meeting we'll do on Tuesday, and giving the gifts to those pastors and others that'll be coming in. Gift cards and pocket knives and office chairs and whatever you give away. All of those things. And listen, people love it when somebody gives them something that's already been bought and paid for. And when you realize that salvation, I mean, that rescues us from hell, has already been bought and paid for. A lot of folks have the idea, well, you know, I'm just going to get my life cleaned up and I'll work and I'll do it. Listen, you can work your fingers to the nub. Work. You can do all that, still die and go to hell. Because the only way that we escape hell is with the Savior. The only way. Only way we get to heaven is with the Savior. So I point out, there's a dark side to eternity and it's called hell. And the Bible tells us a lot more than what I've got time to tell you here now. I'm just telling you, it's for real. And then there's a bright side to eternity. And that's called heaven. And I'll tell you this, I'm a good news guy. I like good news. I love it when I can say to somebody who is down on their face, I mean, they're burdened down with drugs or drink or whatever has taken them down. I'm so delighted that I can say to them, there's a way out, there's a way up, there is a way to get beyond that. And it's through the Lord Jesus. There's a bright side. It's called heaven. It's what Jesus was talking about when he said, my Father's house. It's what this passage, Psalm 23, is talking about when it says, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Now, heaven's not a temporary thing either. It's a forever thing. And whenever the Lord takes us in, he's going to deal with these bodies with a sin nature. And whenever we get to heaven, he's going to give us what we call a glorified body. And going to take care of that so that we can fit in, but we will do so based upon what he's done on our behalf. Not because we're so good at it, but because he has made the arrangement for us. The bright side of eternity, the bright side of forever, it's heaven, and heaven is for real. Every once in a while, somebody will ask me, where do you think heaven is, or where do you think hell is? I don't know the location. The Lord hadn't told us that. But I don't have any doubts that it is locatable. And folks, when we come to die, the Bible says about a person who's saved, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm telling you, whenever you think about just moving out of this old body and moving up into heaven, my, what a deal that is. Some of you remember years ago, the New York Yankees had a catcher named Yogi Berra. And Yogi had a lot of interesting things, way of putting stuff. And one of his famous statements is, it ain't over till it's over. Talking about baseball. You know, as long as you got one strike left, the game's not over. And Yogi would say, it ain't over till it's over. I got news for Yogi. In fact, he knows better now. I got news for Yogi. Even when your life is over, you ain't done. Even when it's over, it's not over. There's an eternity coming. And that eternity will be either, you're either going to find yourself in hell if you don't have the Savior. If you have the Savior, you're going to go to heaven. Now, simple as that. Now, there's a dark side called hell. There's a bright side called heaven. But when we think about forever, there's also what I'm going to call a life side. It's while you got life that the decision needs to be made about which place you're going to go when you die. If you don't do it while you're living, you're not going to be able to do it. See, there's no purgatorial stopover. There's no limbo where you'd have a little chance to get everything shaped up after you stop breathing. It doesn't exist. Say, well, I heard it did. No, somebody made that up. It's not in the Bible. So the deal is, the life side of eternity, that's where we are now. The life side of forever, that's where We can make choices. We can decide. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like coming to the point where a person says, like I did years ago, I realized that I needed the Savior. I was a sinner. And somebody came to our home when I was growing up and brought the message of salvation. And when I heard it, they didn't have to belabor the point. I knew I needed it. And that day, they told me that if I would put my faith, my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would forgive my sin, he would take me into the family of God, and he would reserve a place for me in heaven when I died. And I bowed my head and I told the Lord God of heaven, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. He was resurrected for me. He paid the price for me. And I'm going to trust him right now. I'm hanging all my hope for eternity on him. That's trust. I put my trust in him. And I'm telling you, based on the authority of God's eternal word. Right. I got in that day. I got into the family of God. Forgiveness was administered, and I have a reservation for heaven. When I walked in the hotel over here yesterday afternoon, I walked in, showed the lady my driver's license. She looked, called my name. She said, oh, yes, we were expecting you. Now, I hadn't talked to them, but either Dr. Alquist or somebody from the church here had made the arrangements and made a reservation for me. And consequently, I mean, within a matter of about a minute and a half, I had a key and was headed in my room. Now, I'll tell you what has happened a few times. I walked to the hotel and I thought, you know, I'm in a church and I thought they'd made an arrangement. In fact, I remember right over here in New York, one night I got in a little bit late. And they gave up on me, and they gave my room away. And they were full. I wound up going all the way across, I think it was Rochester, one of those, Greece, New York, somewhere up in there. and I was to midnight before I got into my room. All messed up because the reservation got fouled up. I'm telling you, folks, when God gives you a reservation, he'll make it good. He'll make it good. You say, but I got all this stuff hanging loose in my life. You got to give God the chance to help you figure it all out. Amen. And if you're willing to trust him, he'll take you in. I'm telling you, I've been making this offer to a lot of folks, and God's never turned anybody down. When you get willing to say, I want the Savior, and I want to go to heaven, he's not going to turn you down. Not you, not anybody you know. He's going to take you in. And I love it because God did so love this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's available to me. It's available to you. It's available to all of us. And if you don't have that settled, today would be a good day to get it done. And I'm going to ask you, would you make the choice today? Stand up with me. We'll bow our heads for a word of prayer. We're going to have some music. The pastor will be here at the front. And if you want to get that decision made, please let us help you. We've got altar workers ready to sit down with you with an open Bible for a couple of minutes and help you to make the right choice for the Savior. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you would, please, so we can have some privacy. I wonder how many of you just by the uplifted hand would say, I've made that choice already, got it settled, and I know it, and I'll show it by the uplifted hand. You'd slip it up. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I love to testify like that. And anytime that I'm in a service, they ask for a show of hands on that. I'm always delighted that I can say, I remember the day when I trusted the Savior. Now look, if you could not raise your hand just now, don't be embarrassed about that. But just determine, listen, I need to get that in place. Hell is for real. I don't want to go there. Heaven's for real. I do want to go there. And I need to make that choice while I've still got life and breath to do it. And I'm going to ask you in just a moment when the music begins and Pastor will come and take charge of the service. But I'm going to ask you to do what you'll be glad you've done, and that is trust the Savior. There may be some of you who are saved already and you want to come, as Pastor suggested a while ago. and come about baptism, or you may want to come and join Grace of Calvary Baptist Church, you're welcome to come. And I'm going to ask you to do so if the Lord's impressed you to do it. So, Father, help us now, I pray. May the Spirit of God work and move in our midst, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' mighty name. The music begins, and the altars are open. If you're coming, find your way. Pastor, you take it, please.